The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Friday, the 6th of August, of October 2023. Oh, summer, how I miss you. Mainly the mangoes, but we're going to get a long autumn, especially since you're so cool. Welcome to On the Clock with Erin Green. On the Clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the Clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Good morning, everyone. It's a Sports Friday with Eric Sawyer III. Eric Sawyer III will be joining us via Zoom this morning. He's on the road, but he will be in studio, technically, for our NFL run down. So, I'm trying to figure out how to start today's show. I've got some sports stories, but I want to talk about what's on the front of the papers this morning. I figure people may want to talk about it as well. So I'm going to open up that space. If people want to talk about, ask questions about what they have read in today's Guardian Verbal Clash at UB Pride Week Forum, Pastors Lockhorns at Event, and in today's Tribune, Christian Council shows up at LGBT lecture it opposed. So if anybody wants to talk about that this morning, if you want to talk to someone who was at the event, I am willing to entertain those calls. What I'm going to do is I'm going to run through some sports stories quickly. If I get any calls from people who want to talk about it, I'll engage it. I'm waiting for Mr. Sawyer to join us, and then we will definitely switch the show to NFL time. I wish Mr. Sawyer was in studio so I could see his face as we acknowledge the Dolphins' loss to the Bills this weekend. Also, did the 49ers, like the Eagles, still have a perfect record for the season, 4-0? But let's get to some sports stories quickly. Women's fast pitch softball tourney Thursday. That's in the Tribune, the 3rd of October. The inaugural softball 242 One Caribbean Invitational Women's Fast Pitch Tournament is all set to get underway on Thursday at the Bankers Field, with three international and three local teams participating. According to Thomas Sayers, the founder of Softball 242, the event is shaping up to be an exciting one for all. We will have a team from the U.S. Virgin Islands and two teams from Jamaica, the Jamaica Warrior Queens and the Jamaica Club Fusion coming in. The teams from New Providence are the Bomber Operators, the University of Bahamas Mingos, and the Sunshine Auto Wild Cats. Prior to the start of the tournament, there will be an umpires clinic that got started on Monday at the Archdeacon William Thompson Softball Park at the Southern Recreation Grounds. The internationally certified clinic will run until Wednesday. And Mr. Sayers is quoted as saying, we have one international umpire coming in from the BVI, that's British Virgin Islands, and there are a number of local umpires who will be participating in the clinic. And at the same time, we'll be conducting a TC course for technical commissioners. That's like the people who do attaché work. They've changed the name to technical commissioners who assist the teams with all of the logistics. So if baseball and softball is your thing, check out that clinic. We had Reloaded Baseball Bahamas on Guardian Radio AM yesterday. This is going to be a weekend for people who like to swing the bat. It's going to be a full weekend of activity, softball and baseball. Another quick story. Patrick Tomlinson wins Fidelity Bahamas Optimist National Open Championship. Patrick Tomlinson, who is only 13 years old, of New Providence, won the Fidelity Bahamas Optimist National Open Championship and took the title of National Optimist Champion for the second consecutive year. He sails with the Lyford Key Sailing Club, and he beat out 53 sailors in the championship fleet. Second place winner overall was Jack Mead of Team USA, and third was Mason Rochelle of Team USA. Say congratulations to Tomlinson. He was also named the Bahamas Optimist Dinghy Association Sailor of the Year, which is an award chosen by peers for the sailor that personifies the best qualities in sailing, such as team commitment, represents his country well abroad, sportsmanship, leadership, and gains the respect of fellow sailors. Wow. Young sailors up to the age of 15 sail in the Optimist class in competitions around the world. Congratulations, Tomlinson. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. You are on.
Aaron Glenn, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you doing?
I'm fine. Look, I was looking forward to you at UB, but I didn't see you.
You were looking forward to it? You didn't see the link?
I'm looking forward to see you. Could it be big? Oh, were you there?
I was there.
Oh, I did. The news didn't find you out, I think.
Oh, what? So they only kept the news houses only ran the interviews that occurred after the event.
The interview, like maybe the way you were a spectator.
Yeah, no, I was interviewed before the event.
Oh.
Right, and then I sat as a panelist.
Oh, that's bad journalism.
And spoke during the event.
Oh, that's confusing. That's confusing. Good guy. Good thing you cleared that up. Before I get to sports.
Yeah, yeah.
What the critic also got to realize, sometimes you got to pick your fight with common sense. The UB, it's a secularist college, university. It's not based on it. Though we are a Christian nation, it's not secular.
Yes.
It is a secular university.
Mm-hmm.
That's like how you are Christian school. I have a Christian school. I have a school.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And other denominations have their schools.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes.
So if the Christian is uncomfortable with the university and they're being a secular school, then they should build your own university. I mean, they have a voice.
Without a doubt.
But you got to balance the voice, because other people who are not of that type of religious faith and other faith has a voice too. And the school have to cater to both parties.
Here's another point, Pumpkin Eater. Even people who are of that faith have the right to hold different perspectives on the interpretation of doctrine.
Right.
They have the right to hold different perspectives and demand or engage in critique and conversation about their perspective, about their faith.
Of course. And as an advocate of mine, you know I'm an advocate for disability, right?
Yes.
I would love to see you have a debate on disability. Marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Because some parents would not want, we got a study on this, some parents would not want their intellectual challenge child or physically challenged person to get married to get married generally.
Mm-hmm.
They don't feel that they are capable of being mad or capable of having sex.
Right. They don't feel that they are...
Urgency.
Right, sufficiently...
Why make each other the urgency?
Yeah.
Urge. Oh, yeah.
I would say that sometimes they feel that their child may be taken advantage of by someone who may not have the same or any intellectual disability or physical disability, mm-hmm. right? They feel that their child may not have the capacity to understand the nature of a relationship.
Right.
Right? And so we have discussions about, at what point does your sort of right as a parent to carve out what you think is a safe world for your child, at what point does that right have to be balanced with the right of the child to experience a degree of autonomy?
Right. I remember my grandmother's friend mm-hmm. used to come over because he's offended. Come over and say, boy, one thing with Peter, you don't have to worry about the world. And I was wondering what that means. You don't have to worry about that. And mm-hmm. I asked my grandma what that means. He said, I only think you don't have a sexual nature. So you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. But the truth is that people with intellectual disabilities and physical disabilities also have a sexual life.
Yeah,
right? Some may not, but some do.
You're born with that.
Yeah, it's natural.
It's natural. So you know, it's natural to, I don't know if you could use the word, the culture on your show, but hard on.
Let me rephrase that for you. It's natural for people to become aroused. It's natural for their body to express that arousal through physical responses, right?
An erection.
Right.
Medical terminology.
These things are natural. They happen,
right.
And we have to figure out how to hold space. Like, it's unreasonable for a parent who is the primary caregiver of a child. And it could be an adult child with an intellectual or physical disability to say, hey, if you engage in an intimate relationship with this other person against my wishes, I won't take care of you. Now, if we're talking about, hey, I think that person is dangerous for you. I think that they have no regard for your needs on an everyday basis.
And I understand it.
Right, you could understand that. But just to say, I don't think you should be doing things adults do because I in charge of you is unreasonable, right? And so forums like these, or the university provides a space for forums that allow interrogation of these questions, of these lived experiences of people.
And it provides a space for independent living because in England, the government provides equality in terms of smart homes.
Yeah, they
where folk with disability, whether it be intellectual challenge or physically challenged, can live by themselves
with a degree of autonomy because the home, right? The home has been outfitted with the tools necessary to maintain that independence.
Of course.
And the state sees it as an obligation to ensure equal and equitable participation in society. For members
That was started with Algernon Allen. I think for me and Algernon Allen, because we need Minister of Social Service.
Right.
We sit down, we sit back and forward. That's why it makes Obi Wan comfortable. Because he understands independent living. Algernon Allen understands independent living. Algernon Allen provided some low cost home for folks with disability.
Yeah.
Some were blind and some were physically challenged.
Yeah. That was an excellent move.
Some was in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And some was black. So these, and he was heading in that direction.
Yeah.
And then the ministers listening to me. That direction you need to go in. And the university or the Bahamas need to have form like this for us.
Yeah. So that interrogations could take place. Mm-hmm. People could ask questions. And sometimes when we ask the uncomfortable questions, what arises from that space are real, achievable solutions to problems that people are having.
And the Christian Council is a near church. I know when my mom had me, she had to leave the church, and dad had to leave because in that particular church, they said they don't want me around.
Wow.
Because of my disformity, not just disabled, because you saw, and you'll be on my Facebook page.
Yeah.
Because of my disformity, they told my mother, don't bring me here.
Wow.
Yeah, it was hateful for my parents.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And so that's why I understand. And in a constitution, you cannot be hateful. You got to be loved because what the what the Christian concert did was, I want to probably get me wrong, I'm condoning, but the reality of Constitution, and I won't get into law in the future,
mm-hmm.
the reality of the Constitution, everybody has their human rights.
Mm-hmm.
There's a right.
Yeah.
And even in the church, don't have all that right.
Yeah.
And I can tell you stories about stories when I arrived at my church. Some of them didn't want me around.
Yeah. Sometimes the discriminatory and prejudiced
yeah.
behavior comes from the top, like the system, like the leaders of the church. And then sometimes it comes from the people within the state have authority to kick you out.
They come in
but
a different
make you,
way.
They make you feel so uncomfortable, mm-hmm. like you're supposed to know that you're not wanted here and remove yourself.
I tell you, some of them don't. Glad I am not, because I have an illness right now. I need to get back on the road. I need a special wheelchair.
Yeah.
So, but some of them glad I ain't here.
Yeah.
And that's the sad reality of Christianity. Who will make it to heaven? Who will not make it to heaven? And it's based on the attitude. So,
That's the afterlife. In the now time, we leave people feeling isolated from the
yes.
spaces that they cling to the most for support. But Pumpkin Eater.
But in closing, though,
yeah.
that's what the Christian, yeah, I like to use the word, that's what the Christian council leaders doing.
They're marginalizing
people.
They need
to have a conference for even for the same people, and I hope you be have one for us, but I say that Christian need to have one too. Because they continue to have one to change how the church can embrace disabled and make their place accessible
yeah.
for folks with disability. That's another issue we need to
absolutely.
But have a good day, Eric.
Thank you, Pumpkin Eater.
Keep up the culture.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So just a brief rundown of what happened as I was walking into the studio. You know, left my house, and some people say, oh, I saw you on the news. Some people say, oh, I didn't see you on the news at all, like Pumpkin Eater. So when the event began, media houses, a couple of people asked if I would do an interview. All of the media houses did the same interview, right? So they were all there. And the event started off rocky. And there's a link on Facebook. There's a page, I think Bahamas Pride. There's a link on Facebook where the event was recorded. And I'm not sure if the university has posted yet a copy of the recording on their sites. But from the welcome remarks, some members of the audience began being disruptive, heckling the speaker who was introducing the keynote speaker. The keynote went on. Dr. Cremel Saunders delivered, I think, an awesome presentation. It was very academic. It was very sort of high-level language, a bit difficult to understand given the time frame allotted, right? Some heavy constructs, some not so heavy at all. And then we got to the respondents panel, and members were again heckling and sort of compelling, prompting, urging to get to the question and answer period. And then when the question and answer period started, none of the audience members who were in opposition to the entire event actually contributed on the discussion being had. They were, I think, obtrusive, disrespectful, not there to engage, but there to exert authority, an authority that was unwarranted in that space. They spoke over respondents on the stage. They ignored requests to be quiet. And the language that I would use to describe the behavior of those who purport to be leaders in the religious community, those who say that they're representatives from the Bahamas Christian Council, they were childish. And what's unfortunate for them is the media read the room and assumed that all of the participants in the room that were in opposition and behaving badly were members of the Christian Council or there with them. And that's so unfortunate that a lapse in judgment and some reckless and careless behavior would tarnish would tarnish the organization and the other members that are a part of it. The event eventually erupted into what the organizers, both UB and the Pride Week organizers, felt was chaos, and they made a decision to shut it down. In fact, they were so concerned for the safety of the panelists that the security team ushered us out to our vehicles, making it impossible for us to do interviews with the media post the event. So any impression that people were afraid, ran away from their challenge, is erroneous. The University of the Bahamas' security team, along with their administration, made a call to shut the event down with concern that it was going to erupt into physical violence. And they made a decision to remove the respondents from the space as quickly as possible to ensure their safety, concerned that what had already been expressed and manifested by the opponents to the event would escalate into something uncontrollable. It's extremely unfortunate. I'm going to read a couple of texts here. The council needs to protest marital rape amongst heterosexuals and leave the homosexuals alone. Great show as usual. It's natural. Sexual intimacy is natural. We just make it taboo. Another text. Good morning, Aaron. I was shocked at the behavior of the Christian council members. They were likened to a mob, intellectual level with you and the others. And let me iterate again. It's unfortunate that Mario Moxie and Delton Fernando, who were representatives of the Christian Council, didn't do more to not only establish themselves as separate from the other opponents to the event in the room, but didn't take their role as leaders seriously and attempt to moderate the behavior of those who were becoming unreasonable. I got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. I got the impression that the Christian, what do you call them, the council, they were just going to sit in and learn something. Because if they kept quiet long enough, they just might have learned something.
Yeah.
And when you're doing something like this again, because did you ever get a chance to deliver your presentation, Aaron?
I did. I did get a chance to deliver my presentation. It was short. I mean, I posted online, and I will post the link to the wall, if anybody wants to look for it, they can, after the show, so after 12, they could look for Aaron Green on Facebook. It's a public account, and I'll post it there. I was able to speak.
Yeah, I would like to, because, you know, I have this keen interest in this. I don't know whether it's a war, but there seems to be, this must have started in heaven, because it looked like it ain't finished yet.
Mm-hmm.
We are unable to appreciate the fact that we are different.
Yes.
It's as simple as that. I ain't like you, and you ain't like me, so let's... Look, if I'm blind, deaf, and dumb, at least we can shake hands and understand. Do you understand me now?
Yes.
Thanks for taking my call. Mm,
absolutely. Absolutely. Again, the subject matter was... It was academic. And I reference that again because there was a claim made by one of the audience members that this is a guise, it's subterfuge, and we're attempting to have an advocacy event, but disguise it as an academic event. I will say that was both an advocacy event, but it was an academic event that was used, right? It was constructed for the purpose of advocating for not any particular community, you know, but advocating for a critical interrogation of the spaces that we live in, right? The presentation itself took us on a journey through history, the reading of race and gender, and one of the conclusions was that patriarchy need to maintain women and gay people in a subjugative, like in a diminutive, in a lesser position, to boost their masculinity. That's what the presentation was saying, that women and gay people have to have this identity. It's forced upon us. And the question I asked was, why do you need, I'm going to use this word for academic sissies, why do you need people who are different from you to be labeled in this way? Why do you need them to believe this of themselves? Why can't people who are homosexual, people who are LGBT, why can't they just be bankers? Why can't they just be teachers? Why can't they just be members of society? Why do you need to put this label on them? And what does that say about you who's doing the labeling? And that was a part of my contribution at the event. Again, it was unfortunate that it unfolded in the way that it did. I got a text there. Great show as usual, Miss Green. You know, I never ever have something against you and your lifestyle because you're from Fox Hill and I'm from Fox Hill, but it's not going to be possible to have a discussion without it going left because of the emotions involved. That's just my opinion. And a text is a great contribution because I will tell you that I don't think that the members of the Christian Council that came out there with the intention of being disruptive in that way. I, like you, think that they were moved emotionally to a point where they could no longer moderate their behavior and participation in the forum and thus left them unable to even attempt to moderate the behavior of others in the room. In fact, it led them only to join in said behavior versus moderating it. But it is an emotional topic. But see, here's the problem. You can't remove people or deny them access to a conversation because they may be emotional. Right? You can't, it's the same way you can't tell people, citizens, they can't vote because they don't know enough about their own country. The right to vote is guaranteed. The qualifiers have nothing to do with how much you know about your country, right? Your civics. And in the same way, we can't tell people, oh, you're ignorant, you can't be a part of this conversation. We can't tell people, oh, you failed the test. Right? You can't administer a test as people are trying to walk into the forum and say, oh, you failed the test, you can't come. That's why early in the week I told Mr. Nuri, no, we're not shutting people out of the conversation, out of the space. It's not just undemocratic, it's not decent. What is required is that you are prepared to moderate the space. What is required is that you understand as facilitators and organizers, but to curate in real time the space. But I got a couple callers coming in. Producer, let's go to those calls. Good morning, caller. You are on the clock.
What's happening, Aaron?
Everything's good. How are you, sir?
Quite well. A logical discussion, you know, I believe, you know, it could have been had. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But the issue is not so much inside the country as it is outside the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as to what LGBTQIA stands for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from that place where we gather most of our information from.
Mm-hmm.
I guess one of those tricky points is when, you know, you have these movements in America that even though we are in the Bahamas, we are not immune from those exposures.
Mm-hmm.
And adults try to impose choices on children, you know, in the same way that, you know, I guess, you know, a church would, you know, would attempt to impose a choice, you know,
mm-hmm.
on its members.
Yeah.
You know, but I think, and the language of violence that comes up as a kind of shield, you know, when somebody is saying something that you don't really, that you don't want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, but I think, you know, I believe you'll need to have a part two.
I do. I mean, I think we do. And you know, I tell you what's frustrating. Over the last 2 or 3 weeks, I've had people call into the show and make contributions expressing their opposition to the event, to the lifestyle, to the manner of advocacy, and they've been respectful conversations. They've been contributions by people who have taken the time to measure their words and ensure that their contribution does not contribute to more violence in the lives of people who are already vulnerable.
But I think we have an exploded definition as to what violence is.
Yeah.
Okay. But you know, I think for the my issue up to now with the Christian Council, and I'm a minister
yes,
in the
sir.
Church also, but the lack of preparation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going into a forum.
Yes.
And you are supposed to be, you have an opportunity, you know, and you are going to present Christian views on this issue.
Yes.
Now, the whole part of it, the Christian views.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the problem is that, you know, when you get reactionary and you present your views in such a way that you're going to close a forum down.
Yeah.
You know.
It's problematic.
It gets rough.
Yeah.
It gets rough. Anyway.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, very. Okay, bye-bye.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. You know, and let's go to the next caller, producer. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, caller.
Hello, good morning. Are we discussing the fact that these cowgirls must get beat on Sunday?
Dear sir, it is about that time. Here's what to do. Producer, can you hold him? Hold Mr. Sawyer. Let me take this last call, and then we're going to go to a break, and then we're going to go straight into NFL. Okay? Good stuff.
Gotcha.
All right. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Green.
How are you?
Yeah, you know, the last caller.
Yeah.
I don't want the public to dismiss what he's saying because he stammers, right? Like me.
Yeah.
Maybe 1 out of 20 times I may stammer. That's because I speak emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm able to compose myself. What he says is actually true as far as the influences, et cetera, et cetera. But what I notice is, and this doesn't mean you, Aaron, because, and I'm sorry for, like, if you feel threatened, because it surprised me that you said that they had to walk out the cars, but there's so many other things to be upset about. I'm very upset about this also,
mm-hmm.
but because I have children. And I have a firstborn son.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way in hell that I want him to be a homo. But what I'm saying is the impositions on trying to teach this to young children is incremental engineering. And so what people are talking about now, right? Ashwa Crazy from in the 90s had exposed, and I might have been an article in Time magazine in which they were teaching children how to accept 2 females and 2 dads in the house from as early as the 80s, maybe the late 70s. So this is nothing new. They are too late. This imposition will happen. But what I'm saying is, so now this agenda has given me a job in which to teach my son. I call him Lil Man now.
Mm-hmm.
Just one. I have to do it. And I have to set an example for him because think about the hermaphrodites, right?
Mm-hmm.
In humans, they don't produce both gametes. It's either they produce, you don't produce both male and female gametes. That's what I'm saying. So have a good day.
All right. Okay. 52's response. I appreciate that. One of the things that that was a part of my presentation last night was this question of why don't religious leaders and people who are concerned about this issue, that is a foreign issue, like 52 said, it's concern about something, and the other caller, it's concerned about something that's happening in another jurisdiction. The concern is, though, that we suffer from cultural imperialism and we'll be consumed by the larger culture with no control. I appreciate that entirely, right? So, but two things. This was not the forum to protest that dynamic. Now, while it is a university and an institution of learning, This is not a primary school or a junior school or a high school where students are forced to be exposed to whatever's on the curriculum. It's not, you know, what's happening here. The second thing is, why are opponents to the community also opposed to actually engaging advocates on the community on the ground and understanding what the advocacy movement looks like on the ground? It's because we're going to get back to that at another point in time. But I want to thank everybody that's called and made a contribution this morning. We're going to get back to that. Again, I want to say that the contributions this morning were respectful, they were measured, they were relevant. And that's what we were looking for at the forum last night. We go into a break. When we get back from the break, it's Mr. Eric Sawyer III, and it's NFL time. We'll be right back.
For many people, a breast cancer diagnosis can feel like a battle they're facing alone. But we're all in this together, because breast cancer patients are our mothers, sisters, daughters, our friends. Women need to be assured that they have access to the screening they need and the support they deserve, because every woman matters. Every story is powerful. Every voice makes a difference. Join Guardian Media Group as we pink up the month of October for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Show your support. Place your ad. Give your story, your voice in the Nassau Guardian, Star 106 Hits, Guardian Radio, or Hot 91. For more information, contact your account executive or call 302-2300. Join Guardian Media as we motivate our community by supporting a powerful cause and raising awareness for Breast Cancer Awareness Month this October.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone. So nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Bang, bang, Niner gang. 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 Against all odds, weather the storm, built for combat and battle, young hyenas in uniform. We play no games with the opposite.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock on the Sports Friday with Eric Sawyer III. Good morning, Mr. Sawyer.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I am excellent, except for one thing.
What's that?
You're not here in the studio for me to look in your face and pretend like the Dolphins didn't lose a whole game on Sunday.
Oh, no. No, they managed to squeak one out on Sunday, you know.
No, my
in
we,
their minds.
Pardon? Listen.
In their minds.
First of all, I would like to blame BPL for turning the power off, and that's why the Bills won over the Dolphins. Only Mr. Sawyer, that's the reason why we lost, because the power went off.
Yes. One
across
thing about
island.
The Saudis now, they can lose to the Bills. That's a surety. Every good Saudi in final, they're lost. Y'all can't beat the Bills. Y'all have beaten the Bills once in the last 10 times, including the playoffs. What are you trying to do? You're never going to beat the Bills. So how can you be the best team in the league? You score 70 points against a hapless, Bronco team that didn't know exactly what it is that they wanted to do. And you feel as though this is successful to you? But you feel like this is what is going to bring you to success?
70-20?
You 70-20? That's fine.
You tell me that means nothing?
Scott beat 62-7 in the year 2000 by the Jacksonville Jaguars. But nobody discusses that.
That's because it's 23 years ago.
That's fine. Guess what? When y'all beat the Broncos 70-20, it was also 2 weeks ago. We don't need to discuss it anymore. It's in the past.
Okay,
right?
Listen. The three highlight teams of the week. Eagles 4-0, 49ers 4-0.
Yes, sir.
Panthers 0-4.
Yeah, and the Bears got a win last night, so they're no longer winless anymore. They're 1-4. Panthers have been close. You know, like when you're trading field goals for touchdowns, ultimately, you're going to lose. You know, when other teams can come down and score a touchdown and you go upfield and you have your passing yardage and everything looks good, you know, but a little rookie looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Bryce Young, he looks good. But he's a bit short, so he can't, you know, he's kind of, I think he needs to go to Drew Brees' school of how to throw ball as a short quarterback. You know, that's what Drew Brees was. A short quarterback who had a very illustrious career in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But, Bryce Young is kind of short. He comes from Alabama.
Yeah.
Alabama has a good track record of good athletes, you know. Najee Harris, Minka Fitzpatrick, so on and so forth. But, the quarterback class, if you look at Iran, I mean, A.J. McCarron, he's just getting a job again in the NFL. He was in the XFL last year.
Mm-hmm.
Mac Jones, well, I mean, you see what the Patriots doing. They let the girls beat them 38-3.
That was a beating. So listen, 49ers and Eagles, what's the likelihood that they're going to have a perfect record season?
Highly unlikely. Just because, I wouldn't say highly unlikely. I would say highly unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
Any good Eagle and 49er, and 49 that is best that your team catches a loss now, feels the sting now, deals with the media now,
mm-hmm.
and having to deal with it in the playoffs or worse yet, the Super Bowl, after 2007 New England Patriots.
Yeah.
So 18-1, actually, with a one-loss game.
I'm surprised that the Texans and the Titans look like they are turning it around early in the season. Texans beat the Steelers 30-6. Titans beat the Bengals.
The Texans most definitely are a team headed by a very good head coach. That was our former defensive coordinator. I expected this now, actually. I didn't expect it in the first 2-3 weeks, you know, that D'Amico Ryans needed to get to his players and get them to understand, look, you play in Texan ball, and it's a winning culture here.
Mm-hmm.
I come from a winning culture. I'm going to develop a winning culture. And that's what it is, you know. He has a very good safety, and our former safety, Jimmy Ward. So he's doing well. He's doing very well. Hats off to him. And he's a black head coach at that.
Absolutely. So it's bye week time. Bye week has started. Bye week will consist of, in most instances, four teams not playing. However, some weeks, as few as two teams will be off the deck, while others have as many as six. Some seasons have as many as six teams sitting down for the week. Seahawks and Buccaneers go into their bye week with a 3-1 record. Browns and Chargers go into their bye week with 2-2. Is this going to be an advantage for the Seahawks and Buccaneers? Are they cooling down right when they started to warm up?
I feel like you are indeed correct. Because when you're just getting your muscles going, you're getting your blood pumping, you're getting an NFL football shape, now you get to sit down and eat nachos and dip.
Yeah.
You know, and enjoy a football game on a Sunday with your family instead of being out there on the field.
Yeah.
When the Niners take our break, I think after week 8, we would have already at least gone 7-1, possibly 8-0. You know, like this. Well, I mean, all right. Well, for sure, in 48 hours, we'll be 5-0. And we're for sure.
But, now, look here. I've been waiting for that. I think that's going to be the most exciting game of the weekend. 49ers versus Cowboys.
It will be.
Cowboys going in 3-1.
They are. They are. They lost to the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. Same team that we demoralized last week. Showed them how to beat the Cardinals, you know.
I got you. Okay, callers, call back in. Call back in. When you call back in, I can put Mr. Sawyer. We take in the call. All right. Browns and Chargers. They 2-2. Is this advantageous for them? Just give them a time to reassess, figure out what's going wrong, watch some teams in play, re-strategize some plays, and get back out on the field.
It's definitely advantageous for the Browns because their starting quarterback, Mr. Deshaun Watson, has a shoulder injury. He was trying to play last week, but he couldn't go.
Yeah.
So if he is able to get this rest
and come back strong, they could
recuperate. Yeah.
Yeah. One second. Producer, let's see if we could go to this caller. One second, Mr. Sawyer. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, so you know that,
good, thank you.
Yeah, only one thing I have to say. The 49ers can win this one Sunday.
Against the Cowboys.
We ain't worrying about them. Sardines. I call them Sardines.
Woo! Sardines is just a blanket name now for y'all, for losing teams.
You can't, you know, when the world statistics shows.
Yeah.
Going on right now, that 49ers
yeah.
is one of the best right now. I would, that's the prediction.
Yeah.
But, you know, when the world, so I ain't even eating no popcorn or nothing. I can just sip on some water Sunday. Because it ain't going to be no movie.
I got you.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You remind me to ask the most important question. Mr. Sawyer, how many Sunday baths have you missed so far for the season?
I have not missed any. This season is one whereby I have complete confidence in my team. I don't have to worry about I don't need to worry about it at all. We are winning. We have ourselves a very complete team.
Yeah.
Straight across the board, we have all pros at each level on the defense, each level on the offense.
Okay.
Led by a rookie quarterback on a rookie contract, so we're able to pay our stars until we have to pay him. We are very humble. We're very quiet. Notice only the Cowboys in the media chirping, you know.
Yeah.
Only them chirping. We ain't got nothing to say.
Okay.
Bring it to the field. See, and what I like about my team is we're not going to take the Cowboys for granted. Because if we take them for granted and they miss and beat us, then we got to hear about it from the media the rest of the season.
Ah, boy.
Now, finally, they've gotten the monkey off their back. But if we beat them, when we beat them, I should say.
Yeah.
Now, when we meet in the playoffs, because then that'll mean the Cowboys have two conference losses. They lost to the Cardinals and they lost to us.
Oh, wow. Listen, let's take
two games up on them in the conference.
Let's take
they
another
no
call.
Chance. They'd have no chance to get the number one seed in the NFL.
Ah.
No chance to get the number one seed in the NFC, sorry.
I got you.
So now you have to come on the road again and get beat by us again in San Francisco again.
Goodness. Hold the line. Let's go to this caller quickly. Good morning, caller. Are you a Dolphin fan?
Yes, I'm a Dolphin fan, Eric.
There you go. Now we got three Dolphins in the house, Mr. Sawyer.
Smell exotic.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. But Sawyer, I want to tell you that we still lead in the AFC.
Hold on. Who's still leading the AFC?
Dolphins. Go.
No.
How you leading the AFC?
We second to the Bills, man.
That's only temporary, man.
But y'all ain't beat them. We beat them once in the last 10 times. And that's because Josh Allen threw the ball into the sunlight right at the fella's feet. He decided he didn't want to play no more last year. Y'all barely beat them last year.
Yeah. What do you think about this Sunday coming? Giants.
This Sunday coming? But you got to understand. We can win. Who y'all playing? Y'all playing the Giants?
Yeah, that's what he's asking. What's the Dolphins' chance versus the Giants?
Y'all should squeak one out, you know?
Yeah.
Y'all should squeak one out. Although y'all run defense really leaves a lot to be desired. It's the speed of y'all offense that can beat the Giants.
I want to hear
about that.
That'll be 4-1.
Beat the Giants this weekend.
Right.
Giants would end up with 1-4.
Not if, Eric. I fake.
That's right. When?
We got to play off.
Mr.
Y'all gave me the playoffs. Get beaten the first round, but
listen.
I claim in the Super Bowl.
Why? Thank you, sir.
You can claim it all you want. Make sure I buy your ticket. That way you can sit in the stands.
Your cowboy can be there, but I want your cowboy be there, man. You know you're 49ers, eh?
Yeah, he's 49ers.
All day, every day.
4-0.
I want that be there, boy. I want.
Into the tomb, son.
I want to demolish y'all in the Super Bowl.
Oh, boy. Listen.
This is a battle of I can wake up because you had to have been dreaming.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, gentlemen. Listen, this is going to be an exciting NFL weekend. 49ers versus Cowboys, Dolphins versus Giants, Lions 3-1 record versus Panthers 0-4. Guys, we are all out of time. Check your local newspapers for stories. Jones, Liberty advanced to WNBA Finals. Marlins reached the playoffs, but then they're out as quickly as a 2-game sweep. Buddy focused on training camp amid contract talks. Bain wins men's double title at regionals. And champions crowned at the West Roll Invitational. Tons of great sports stories in this week's papers. If you don't have the paper, go online and read them all. Mr. Sawyer, thank you very, very much. Once again, I'm glad you couldn't make it to studio because I don't know how to mute you. I could mute you on the phone because there's only dolphins in the studio this morning, sir. Only dolphins. Anyway,
I'm not extending condolences. It was expected.
That's fine because I thought you was going to make the flipper sound just now. I was going to cry. You guys have a wonderful day. To my callers in the earlier part of the show, thank you very much for your contributions. I really appreciate them. You guys have a great day. Even when we disagree, we could be decent to each other. Have a great day, Bahamas. Oh, wait. It's a holiday. Don't go to work on Monday.
There's no work on Monday.
That's right. National, guys, enjoy it. Take care of one another. See you on Tuesday. Have a great day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.